I see politically some people congratulating this lady. Hello, Mary Lou. Will they be singing that in Sinn Féin pubs and clubs? Hello, Mary Lou. Who exactly is Mary Lou McDonald? I see a guy called Julian asking on the text this morning. I'll allow Malachy O'Doherty to answer that. Malachy, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
One of the best known faces in Southern politics, Mary
Absolutely.
Lou McDonald. But it's a good question. Who is she?
Well, she's now a seasoned politician because she's been at the game for a very long time. She went into politics in the 90s, first of all with the Fianna Fáil party. She is said to have become disaffected with them because they weren't Republican enough and moved across to Sinn Féin. She has been, she was the first MEP for Sinn Féin. I think that was in 2004. She failed in her first attempt to get a seat in Dublin, but she took one, and she's been in the Dáil for 6 years. So she's, she's top drawer in terms of political experience. She was born in 1969, which made her a very small baby at the start of the Troubles. So she's the first person, if you like, to emerge out of the generation succeeding the start of the Troubles, if you like, into significant leadership. Well, practically in any of the political parties that I can think of. Well, no, I suppose that's not true. But certainly the first person to speak for the Provisional Republican Movement, who wouldn't have a memory that would cast back to, and I'm wrong again because Neil O'Donnell is another young one, and Michelle. But essentially she's at the top, having started off, having been born into the generation of the Troubles rather than before it in the way that Gerry Adams was.
Yeah, interesting, although the reading we can do about Sinn Féin whenever they are electing a new president, and most people, of course, would associate Gerry Adams, who have been president of Sinn Féin for long and many's a day, but they did have a female president, a woman called Margaret Buckley.
Well, you're going back a long time then, and there's been splits since, and I must say that her name only came to my notice when I was doing a wee bit of reading here before coming on, so I know nothing about her. Sinn Féin, of course, is an organisation which has evolved in many ways. I mean, it was formed in 1906 under Arthur Griffiths. It was given the credit for the Easter Rising by the media, but actually that wasn't true at all. The Easter Rising was essentially run by the Irish Republican Brotherhood, which later, I suppose, morphed into the IRA, and relations between Sinn Féin and the IRA were established in that period. And I mean, the Sinn Féin of those days was a very conservative nationalist organisation. Sinn Féin, even in the time of, well, I mean, you go back to, say, the civil rights period, when Sinn Féin was on the fringes of that. Well, actually had members on the board of NICRA, or they weren't called Sinn Féin, they were Republican clubs. But their notion of the rights agenda was very different from the notion of the rights agenda today. There was no one at that time, for instance, arguing for the right to choose. There was no one then arguing within that movement for same-sex marriage or even what would have been called homosexual equality. These would have been very fringe issues at the start of that movement. And Sinn Féin, I mean, the Sinn Féin under the De Valera period would have seen a united Ireland as being an insular protective thing, opposed to industrialisation, separate from the filthy modern tide, if you like, whereas Sinn Féin of today is now, for a united Ireland inside Europe. It's now almost internationalist. So the Sinn Féin movement has morphed in many, many ways over the years, and who knows but that it might morph again. But I would imagine that the old hands would want to keep a close eye on how things develop.
People say there aren't enough female leaders and that politics demands a female touch, not just from time to time, but generally. Now, some of the toughest female leaders in history have been women. The one that jumps to mind immediately, of course, is Margaret Thatcher. And Mary Lou McDonald said, that she grew up watching Gerry Adams on the telly. She said, I certainly never would have guessed that come February the 10th, 2018, that I would be the boss of him. You'd have to be tough, and you'd have to be assertive. I'm trying to use appropriate words for an incoming president of Sinn Féin, but if you are going to be the boss of Sinn Féin, you gotta have your mettle about you.
Well, as if you're the boss of the DUP or the Scottish Nationalist Party or Plaid Cymru, who are all women.
But is it not tougher to be the boss of Sinn Féin than the three parties you mentioned?
I don't know. I mean, I think in a sense, Mary Lou is has been the leader designate for some time. I think in a sense, you know, there's something very odd about a party in which nobody else challenges for the leadership, in which everybody has it in their minds that they know in advance. Although you could say the same thing happened for Arlene. She was more or less a leader designate in the DUP. Leader designates tend not to do very well. If you look at Gordon Brown or Grace Mugabe, for that matter, or even George Osborne, who was seen as the leader in waiting of the English Tory Party, and I mean, none of whom are anywhere now. So I would have thought her problem is not so much from being a woman as from being an appointee of the previous generation, rather than, she hasn't fought an election for the leadership of the party, nor has Michelle O'Neill fought an election for the leadership in the North. That role was created for her. And I would have thought there's bound to be, surely to goodness, you know, unless this is the most supine and docile political party of all time, which it does not appear to be, there's bound to be people in Sinn Féin who are saying, you know, really, that job's mine by right. I should have had a chance at that, you know. So when, if Gerry really steps back and he's getting older, anyway, he's 70 next year and he's bound to want to spend more time with his dog at the top of Errigal or wherever, you know, and in those circumstances, there's bound to be people who will make life slightly difficult for Mary Lou, and she hasn't had that experience of managing a party where there's much dissension. Where there's dissension in Sinn Féin, we've seen at local level in councils over and over again, at least half a dozen cases in recent times of councillors simply being sacked. You know, you're not toeing the line, get out, you know. And they complain about micromanagement of the party from above, you know, and their complaints are simply squashed and overruled and they're got rid of. Now, a party can't go on like that forever. You know, there has to be a time when some semblance of actual division of opinion begins to emerge, although we don't see that. And there also has to be a clear, in the same sense that she was born after the start of the Troubles, there has to be, you know, there has to be a moving on from the heritage of the Troubles, from the shadow of the IRA over Sinn Féin. There has to be some growth in that direction, and she is the one to whom falls the responsibility to take the party that bit further away from its military legacy.
Yeah, how important is that to Sinn Féin, that less and less of the senior members are actually former provisional IRA members?
Well, I think for people like Gerry Adams, it wasn't important at all. I mean, I do remember at the time when the executive was first being called, and I was talking to some unionists, I'll not name them, but they were telling me, you know, we've got assurances that there'll be no top IRA names on the called by Sinn Féin for executive posts. And I mean, they nearly fell off their seats when Martin McGuinness was named as education minister at that time. So I think Gerry Adams has, the very first principle for Gerry Adams throughout this whole period has been the preservation of the good name of the IRA, the defence of the legitimacy of the IRA campaign. That is vitally important to Gerry Adams, and he has stuck with that even at the expense of the party. You know, even when it has damaged the party through the Maria Cahill scandal, through Slab Murphy being calling him a good Republican, standing up on the Dáil and saying that the men who shot Superintendents Breen and Buchanan were good Republicans doing their duty as they saw it. You know, when things like that lose votes for Sinn Féin and humiliate Sinn Féin in the public, Gerry still stood firm to defend the good name of the IRA. Now, will Mary Lou McDonald do that? At some stage, there has to be a membership of leadership of Sinn Féin that doesn't cling to that. And I don't know if she's got the wherewithal to do that, or if she's even got the freedom of movement to do it. But I thought, you know, that the resignation of Barry McIlduff was indicative of something like that. I mean, of course it wasn't a resignation. He was told what to do. He must have been, you know. And there was clearly something strange happening in Sinn Féin within a two-week period between saying, look, we're going to cover for Barry, he's one of ours, and Mary Lou herself had retweeted or had liked tweets, you know, endorsing Barry McIlduff. And then 2 weeks later, he's gone, he's toast. So that gives you an idea that there's some ferment within that party, that there's some division of opinion. Now, that's a healthy thing in a democratic party, and Sinn Féin isn't used to that. Sinn Féin's origins its legacy from the 70s, 80s, 90s period is that essentially the IRA is in charge. You know, and when there was a security assessment for the Fresh Start talks, you remember just 2 years ago, the report was that many in the IRA still believed that they were in charge of Sinn Féin. I think Mary Lou McDonnell is not IRA. She has no IRA baggage. No one has accused her of ever being a member of the IRA. I think, for her to bring Sinn Féin into the front rank of Irish politics, to get it into government, she has to take it further away from the IRA than Gerry was ever able to do.
And finally, Malachy, and briefly, will Michelle O'Neill succeed as the Vice President?
I think it'll be interesting to see if she gets a clear run as well. You know, it doesn't look good for a political party when candidates for high office get clear runs. It looks like they're not really political parties at all. They're cults. And so this is, she was appointed by the Ard Cúrla rather than elected by the party into the post of Northern Leader. If she gets a clear run to this, then you have to be asking people like John O'Dowd and Conor Murphy and Michelle Gill and Martina Anderson, what are you doing? Have you no political ambitions at all? Are you glove puppets, for goodness sake? Get off your bottoms and assert yourselves, or are you really going to be are you really just going to do as you're told and behave yourselves and have your leaders appointed over you? Because that's not democracy if that's what you do.
Well, the nominations for Vice President are open through until the 29th of January. Malachy, thanks for coming on. Thank you.
Pleasure, Frank. All the best.